The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the only Sunday in the church year on which we hear the complete account of Jesus' passion, the record of his innocent suffering and death for us men and for our salvation. Our text, with its brief and poignant summary of our Savior's self-sacrifice for sinners, followed by his exaltation to the right hand of God, sets the stage for us to hear this gospel, interpreting in advance what the betrayal and trials and mockery and scourging and crown of thorns and nails and cross and death we're all about. Jesus is true God. He possesses by nature all power and wisdom and strength, and he deserves honor and glory. But he was willing to set aside all of his divine prerogatives, was willing to give them up in love for you. He could have come to earth in a display of blinding glory, like that which he briefly revealed to three of his disciples at his transfiguration. Instead, he humbled himself and made himself nothing and took on a servant's form and died. His coming wasn't about him. It was about you. His love for you, and his desire for your salvation. The passion of God to redeem sinners led to the passion of his Son Jesus at the hand of sinners, religious leaders, government leaders, followers who denied and abandoned him, scoffers, even criminals being executed along with him. But even beyond these, who were directly involved in his suffering, is the whole world of sinners for whom he suffered. All people whose punishment he shouldered to put an end to God's wrath against them. Whether you say it, God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, or for the joy of our salvation, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, or while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, or God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, or Christ Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. No matter how you say it, it all presents the same truth. In love for sinners, in love for you, God sent his Son to take your place, to live and to die for you. That's God's passion for you. Salvation doesn't come because God is just an old softy who ignores sin with a wink and a nod. God takes sin seriously, deadly seriously, even when you don't. Your salvation came at great cost. The suffering and death of God's Son, His only Son, whom He loves. There was no shortcut, no easy and painless solution. He couldn't just make a few calls. Jesus took your place and bore the punishment you deserve all the way to real death and complete abandonment by God. And He did it, every bit of it, in love, so that you could become a child of God and rejoice in His mercy and grace eternally. Give your attention, then, to the most important thing that ever happened, the passion of your Lord, the story of God's love for you, the events through which Jesus accomplished your salvation. We join in singing, "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now." How to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, The hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table, where the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you as my Father assigned to me a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now, let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.